Welcome to a new episode of Digest with Des. Okay, so I want to start off by saying, I want you to tell them what your name is and what it is that you do.
So my name is Raven Riddick, and I'm a rapper. I'm a songwriter. I do a lot of things, not just music, but for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, music. Okay. So your name is Raven Riddick. Is your stage name Raven Riddick?
So I made it easier, and I just made a double R. But if you know, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Like, it stands for my name, though. It's just an initial form.
So how did you get into music?
It stemmed from poetry, and it just, you know, like, once you start doing poetry, it's kind of easy to transition. Once you start listening to beats and learning how to flow. And so it was just easy for me. I always used to write, so it wasn't really hard to rap to a beat and make a song. I just had to sit down and focus.
And when did you start turning, like, transitioning from poetry, writing, stuff like that, that you probably enjoyed leisurely to, okay, let me put it to a beat. Let me make my song.
In 2020.
In 2020.
When the world was, like, slow. But I was still moving a little fast. There was a lot going on. So I had stuff to talk about.
And, yeah.
You know, I was able to just go in the studio and say, fuck this. Let's do this. And, yeah. I wrote my first full song because I used to write just like freestyles and stuff. Like, it's not, you know, it's quick stuff. And it used to be to other people's beats or a song that was already out, and they would do like challenges to those songs and stuff like that. But to my own like beat and my own rhythm, flow, everything. 2020.
Okay. And what happened in 2020 for you to be like, let me put this to the music? Obviously the pandemic, but did something in your life trigger or inspire you to say, let me use this talent that I have as an outlet and share it with the world?
It was the first time in shit ever that I got a notification from my job, and they basically was like, the office is closing. So I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you know, I didn't know and I was in Miami at the time. Like, I didn't get fired, but like later, like, okay, I don't got to go back to work. So like, what do I do? And then at the time, flights was cheap as fuck. I was ready to go on a world tour with just fucking three outfits. Like, and at the time, stores is closed. So I'm like, damn, I got to think, like, how am I really going to move around, you know? As much as I want to, I couldn't really do that. So I came back to New York. And like I said, everywhere else was kind of still jumping a little bit. New York was the only place that was just dry.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I got back, it was around, May? Like, Memorial Day weekend, I remember. My bro Ricky took me to the studio in Mount Vernon. And it was a dope studio. I forget the name, but, like, a lot of artists have went there. Like, you seen all the pictures on the walls. And I just got inspired, you know, just by that. Like, okay, I'm in a place of, you know, greatness. Like, a lot of great shit been here. So it's like, all right, let's do this. It's now or never. Like, I'm here. So, yeah, I went in there, and I made a song called Lavish. And that kind of just set the tone for how I wanted this thing to go, like, it was like my aspirations in a song, kind of.
And are you an independent artist?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got a few people on my ass right now. So. But I'm not looking to sign nothing right now.
Okay. And do you feel like I feel like this is a debate that a lot of artists have, like being independent versus being signed. What is your opinion on it? Because would you rather have a big machine and like a large team who probably could put a little bit more into you?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have more control? So like you have more control and also you receive, I'm assuming, a larger cut of whatever you make.
Of course, I'm always want to have control. Like, but at the same time, there's a lot of things you can't do by yourself. You need other people to help you. Like, there's no artist that's fully independent. Like, you could be independent when it comes to you putting in most of the work, and you know, having you have to still invest though. If you want to invest into marketing and have your, you know, there's things that you, there's people you have to work with, yes, but as far as you being in control, like, I think that's the smartest way to go about it, because yes, you're it's fair. It's, you know, you got people that's just getting robbed every day out here, and it's so sad. These people, it's a lot of artists people look up to that's broke.
Yes.
So broke.
True.
And I'm in these rooms, you know, I listen and I learn a lot every day. Like, I just be like, whew, you know, like, it's a lot that you just be, you got to be aware of. A lot of these artists don't read, mm-hmm. and they don't know shit. They just go signing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my life get fucked up.
So what is it that a big machine, like a large company, would have to offer you for you to be like, yeah, okay, I'm ready, I'll sign?
For me, I think it would be, I would need to own all my publishing. I want to own all my publishing. Considering the fact that I write my own stuff, and it's like I put a, you know, it's not really as much as me reaching out, and I'm working with all these other writers, and everybody has to get a portion. Like, I'm making sure, like, I'm actually putting in my work and I'm doing what I need to do. So when it's time to collect, like, most of it comes to me. But I don't have a problem with sharing, because everybody needs their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people can get greedy, and then how can I put it, that entitlement, you know, people mm-hmm. start to feel like you owe them oh so much, and it's like, you're not really the one that's doing this.
Right, yeah. It's your vision, so, your dream, your talent.
Exactly. So it's a lot with that. But yeah, as far as I would just much rather collect all my shit and dish out genuinely however I want to dish it out to who I know was there and helped and things like that. Like, I don't need it on the paper or a dotted line to say this goes to this person and this goes. I ain't doing that. I can't think of an amount right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking of that. I'm
and not don't say about not, it. Don't say nothing that's gonna lock.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's not even on. I'm not thinking about it right
they
now.
They need to just come with a big offer. Yeah, and you make a decision, like, when they get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, who inspires you in music? So, male and female, who inspires you? Different genres. What do you listen to that you draw inspiration from, if any?
You know what's funny? Because I listen to, if you look in my libraries, like my Apple Music library or fucking SoundCloud, Pandora, my channels, I got a big variety of just different genres. Like, I could listen to rock bands. I love Fall Out Boy. I love Green Day. I love Pink. Like for rock, those I could listen to their songs faithfully. When it comes to, like, soul, acoustic, I love India Ari. I love, what's her name? Erykah Badu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, Tim's is R&B or
soul. I don't know. I mean, I don't not really know. Soul. I don't feel like she's soul.
No.
But I also don't feel like she's R&B. I kind of feel like she's one of her own, she's in her own category, because she got infusion of the Afro. Like
but minus the Afro beats though, like, a lot of her songs are very, like, calm yeah. and soothing. So I don't know. But yeah, I listen to Tim's a lot. When it comes to R&B and hip hop shit, we could go old school for days. Mm-hmm. We could go new school, like. But yeah, I be in my R&B bag a lot, like 90s R&B. I got an old soul, so I'll pick that any day.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the variety of genres that you are immersing yourself in helps you to have diversity in the art that you create and not sound
yeah.
as repetitive as, I guess, some of the other artists can sound? Like, you switch yes. it up. I've listened to your music. You switch it up. You stay, yes. you know, making changes. You can tell it's you, it's but the, it's variety.
It definitely plays a big part. It just keeps me different. It keeps me versatile. Like,
mm-hmm.
they just never know what they can get. Like, I'm gonna get into some rock shit. Once I learn a guitar, it's over. Like, once I learn a bunch of instruments, it's a wrap. I'm gonna change this whole shit up. So, yeah, it does help a lot. Even with, like, R&B samples. I only did two, but, like, the old school samples, you throw that on a beat, let a producer cook that up. Oh man, like that'll be, and then it's not even like the songs you would expect. You pulling shit out the, you know, people like, oh, how she know that? Yeah. But yeah.
So this is a large, like a layered debate. A lot of people ask this question. What's your top five of all time rappers of all time?
Rappers? All right. It's not in order.
Okay.
But Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm. Dead or Alive.
All right. Female or male?
It could be either.
All right. You got... Because I... Damn. Five. We going to go with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jeezy and Jadakiss. Like... I don't know. Something about them. They just, whew, they be talking. Like, when I listen to certain songs, yeah. And I don't know. But, okay, Jay-Z, Jeezy, Jadakiss. We're going to go with Foxy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be biased if I say me, but I, whew. You said five. That's kind of crazy. I said Jay-Z, Jadakiss, Cheesy, Foxy Brown. Don't even quote me for real. Like, this is just
off the top of your head. I surprised you with the question.
Yes. But like if I from this past week, I've been on once and I've been listening to these artists a lot. So, Foxy and I'm gonna give it to Tupac.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people understood him, but I understood him. I understood him.
I think his music goes across multiple generations and times, and that's something that you got to be a very particular type of artist for it to carry that way, and also for it to live beyond you, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, he not out promoting his music, you know, and people still love him. You know, his impact is still felt.
The message,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So. My follow-up to that is these big artists that you just named, and, you know, a lot of them have machines behind them. You're an independent artist, and you're doing a lot of it by yourself. How do you stay grounded and care about, like, you and your wellness and your health and your mental health and make sure that you are not overexerting or burning out?
I try to balance just everything out with, like, work and fun. I try to remember, like, I'm still young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to really rush too much. Like, the speed, the pace I'm at is good enough for me right now. Like, I'm able to I don't like to feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I got too much going on. But at the same time, I need to have a lot. You know, I don't want to, because when I feel like I'm not doing nothing or enough, you know, and now that triggers. So it's like, I just balance it out. Like, I like to be around friends, family. I like to travel. I still got my day job. Like, I work for a jewelry company. So I'm there most of the week, throughout the week. When it comes to music, I got to deal with that after the day job. Like, things got to happen after, you know, when I get off or when I'm off or... If it's that important, I'm taking a day off, PTO. Like, it's that's how it's going. So it's about balance. And mental health is a real thing. I wouldn't say I'm suffering from anything like that. But when I look around, like, and I got certain peers, you know, that's really going through that, I'm just seeing it and I'm able to uplift and, you know, try to keep them out of any dark space they might be in when it comes to just my music.
Mm-hmm.
Or just me, hey, let's go out, let's go do this, or let's go take a trip or something like that, or I'll go and visit them. Like, just, you know, it's about having good energy, and that can rub off on people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Negative energy too, like, you can feel that. So it's like, I just like to keep certain people around. I don't mind being by myself either. Like, I'm the only child. I grew up an only child, so mm-hmm. it's like, I've mastered that in some way, somehow. I'm able to just do things on my own mm-hmm. without feeling, you know, like I need to be with people to have, you know, to enjoy or bask in that moment. So that's how I'm able to deal with that.
And okay, so how do I frame the question? I feel like people who are exposing themselves at high levels, like, you have tons of people seeing you, watching you.
Yeah.
You get exposed to a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
And it's easy for people to criticize, especially through social media, because there's no, like, they're not in front of you, right? So
right.
People say the crazy stuff, they comment crazy stuff. How do you shield yourself from that? Do you read your comments? Do you have a method or a boundary or some stuff like that that you use to make sure that you're not digesting too much? Of course, negative, because ain't nothing wrong with the positive comments, but
yeah.
You know how people, they're going to have stuff to say, period. So how do you, you know, protect yourself from that, shield yourself from that?
Most of the people that always, well, that have something to say negative, they don't even, it's like, sometimes it's like, I see why. You can just, like, you can just see why they might have that energy and attitude towards you. So it's no need to even feed into it, because you're not going to help the situation. And most of the time, I only want to try to make people happy, or, you know, at least motivate. If I'm making you mad, all right, my bad. It's up to you to delete me, unfollow me, stop listening. That's on you. It's not going to stop me. Like, mm-hmm. When you know yourself and you're comfortable in your shoes,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the best, like, that's the best thing, because it's not a soul. Nobody can really tell you about yourself. Like, you, it's nothing that'll really. Now, sometimes if you got time, you got the people that be thinking they could, a comedian, but you funnier. Like, I'm hilarious. And if I got the time, oh yeah, I might clap back, say a little jokey joke. But mm-hmm. I'm also learning, like, that, just, you know, that's not always the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, let them talk. So yeah, I'm still learning that. But if I feel like I want to clap back, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not easy. Being human, a part of it is like, yeah, I want to say something back. Of course, I want to say something back. So, you know, I think that art is about, it's subjective, right? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I'm putting out something because this is what I'm proud of. It's expressive. I'm doing something because this is what I enjoy.
Exactly.
It don't got to be something for you. And yeah. The fact that you listen to complain, my check is clearing. So I don't care about the
and
rest.
And it'll,
you know,
be like a percentage. Like, you'll see that, like, most of the comments, people are praising you. You know, it's mm-hmm. all good. And then you'll have those, like, 5%, 10% of just haters. So it's like, they'll never, like, majority will always, either way, the validation, you get what I'm saying? It's not, when you're comfortable and you know yourself, it'll just be like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But people gonna say whatever, good or bad. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's your dream collaboration? Like, if you could pick a couple artists that you would love to work with now or in the future, small or big, who would you want to work with?
I'm gonna do a song with Lil Durk.
Okay. And why Lil Durk?
Because I used to, I still love Dage Loaf, but I like that collab. Like, I mm-hmm. like how they energies matched, and I like how they just, you know, felt like they just feed off each other in the music. So, I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying I'm trying to channel that same thing, but I look up to Dej Loaf a lot. Like, I love her. Mm-hmm. I love Dej Loaf so much. Dej Loaf, I love you. Tiana Taylor, I love you. Like, those artists, they're them. They're them. They're different. Like, Dej just came back on the scene, but you can hear other artists sounding
being
like
influenced
her.
Influenced by her, yes, absolutely. She you has a very saying? Unique
exact
sound that's so, hers and hers only.
It's like her, she was somebody I would always just listen to, like, in a mood, if I'm ready to party, if it's a love song, whatever. She had different shit, like her, you know, her catalog is, she got all types of shit. So that's something that I'm trying to channel in my journey. Like, I'm just trying to make sure I have shit for any occasion, like, for whatever that people could vibe to and still resort back to me. It's just me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's your dream collab. What are your dream projects? Like, what are things that you want to do, if not music, of course, but would you want to do anything else, entertainment? Because you got personality, you got creativity, you got talent. Would you want to expand it?
I wouldn't be too, like, I wouldn't be too shy, like, or nothing to do, because I got a funny family. I mm-hmm. think we would be funny in front of cameras, like, on at my own, like, family TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I would do, like, maybe, as I keep growing, like, more, like, appearances on, like, games, like, Wildin' Out, things like that. Like, stuff that's fun, because I like to do fun shit. Like, I don't want to just be in front of cameras and just shit is just it's almost as scripted, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to be myself, have fun, and it's not even like the cameras is really there, you know? I want to dive into, like, brands. I want to get some more merch out. I have, like, sweaters and trucker hats right now, but I'm going to get into more because I love fashion, so I'm going to just start diving into more clothing with the brand and lip gloss.
Okay.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live without it, so mm-hmm. I'm going to need my own, definitely. So, yeah, those are small projects that are currently on the mood board, and that's going to start getting into works. Oh, and tequila. People don't know. If you don't know, yeah. Tequila is my thing. I really feel like I need to, like, go ahead and just invest. Trying to work my way into having my own little, I'm going to go to Mexico, but it's going to take time. Definitely a couple of years, but
mm-hmm.
I want that too for me. My own liquor.
Okay.
That's rich shit. When you got your own liquor.
Yeah.
Please. Okay. Whew. That's pretty much it right now. I'm just working on shit for my future, really. So I don't have no kids yet. I want to make sure they straight.
Yeah. So with you saying that, you want those things at some point in your life, right? Like kids.
Yeah.
Marriage, possibly. Things like that.
I mean, it's going to come. Like, those things, I just feel like should not be rushed. Like, everybody should be able to enjoy their time.
Right.
Young. You know,
mm-hmm.
and with what I'm doing right now, I really, a relationship would be cool, but he would have to be very much understanding and supportive. That's all. Like, you know, I don't need a dude to just be on my back about a bunch of like, I know what comes with this industry shit, but if anything, I just feel like it has to be a lot of understanding, and I'm not stopping my ground for nobody. So mm-hmm. it's like, you either with it or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want that family.
And how do you feel like you balance that? Because, like, especially as a woman, I feel like we saw that with Cardi. It's like, oh, you're about to have a baby. That's going to slow you down. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a family. That's going to slow you down. Do you feel like, one, it does slow you down? And two, that it would stop or prevent anything for you? Like, do you
having
think
a kid?
That, yeah. Do you think it would shift? Once you get to that point in your life, do you think your career aspirations would need to shift, or your career in general would need to pivot?
I
feel like that's just put on women a lot. So I wonder what your thought process is about.
It's not too much I could speak on because I haven't, you know, been through it. But I would say, if you are experiencing that, like, for example, like Sexy Red, she came out, grew up, and then it popped, you know what I'm saying, popped out with a baby, but she had stuff already in motion. So it was, hers was like, she was still working up until she gave birth. So it was like, if you have those type of things already in line for you, for you know, you it's not much you got to worry about because you have the support from your family. And then if you decide to take a break, you good. You know you good. You still got money flowing in. So I just feel like it's all about, how can I put it? The stability of like where you at exactly. And if you know that it's, you know, you able to do that, then yeah. Cardi and Offset, I mean, they popped out too. I don't know the status, but they was making it work.
Yeah.
You know, even with his other kids, like they were one big family at one point. So,
Do you feel like an unfair or impossible standard is placed on women, especially in the music industry? Of just like, if you gonna do this, you can't do this. And, you know, that is not necessarily, it doesn't appear to be put on men in that same way.
Women gonna always be the victim in the music industry because it's, they always just say it's a male dominant, you know, industry. And the fact that it's changing, I think a lot of people, it's hard for them to really take that in. Like, oh my God, females, like, I mean, Beyonce Ben said it, we run the world, but it's different aspects of the world. And you never know what we could take over. We could take over in everything, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think the more women empowerment, the more it'll make sense, the more beef they have, especially in rap and music, that they try to create all of this beef for the women. And it's making us look, and it's making them look bad. I don't think that ever looks like making a diss, like me, you won't ever catch me trying to make millions off somebody else's name. Because then it's like, damn, like, look, you make, if you didn't mention me, you wasn't making all. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like a slap in the face if you ask me. So, yeah. But the people's, then they, we all here for the entertainment. Yeah. And it be entertainment. So, but at the same time, like, that shit corny.
Yeah. So how's Raven in her personal life? Because like you just said, we're all here for the entertainment. And like a lot of people will feel like, you know, you put on a persona, not you, but like in general, like artists and entertainers, you put on a persona. Do you turn off when you're home or are you this way all the time?
So what's today? Saturday. Typical Saturday. I was at the studio last night. My life right now is just I'm working. But I'm still having fun. I'm doing, still doing what I like to do. I turn off when my body and I'm just like, all right, take a rest, you know, stay in the house, have a self-care day, do some laundry or, you know, do something. But stay home and just relax. Because I be on the move a lot and I travel a lot. I love to travel. It's like, I don't think I'll ever stop traveling until I really can't. I'm not able to fly or something. But this is me regular. Like, I be chilling. All my friends know, my family know. I'm just trying to be successful. That's it.
And I know we talked about what you double R want to do outside of music. But do you, Raven, want to do anything outside of, you know, your persona and your rap career? Do you want to do anything personally? Are there aspirations and goals that you want to meet? Education or maybe you know, just other advocacies, things like that that you would like to touch on?
So I went to school. I got my criminal justice associate's degree. And I was going to, like, start an internship and eventually, like, work probation. I was going to basically be a probation officer.
Mm-hmm.
To start that. I was out in Georgia. Something happened. I came back home and I just started working. But I never lost, like, faith in that. I would still do that if that's just if. But I'm going to make this work. I just know I got things to fall back on. But, I recently spoke with Mr. Efros, remember the old music teacher? So I'm gonna be doing career day up at 308 this year.
Okay.
And this is gonna be a little different for me because it's gonna be nostalgic. Like I ain't been at school since I don't know how long, and I already know like it's it looked different, mm-hmm. but at the same time, like when we was going there, I was in just from Mr. Efros. Like that man told me how to play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I told him like you told me how to play the world's greatest. Like I never knew how to play the piano, but even with that, like different instruments and stuff, like it stems from just a long way. So with working with kids and trying to give back, I'm gonna try to get into like a writing program there or a music program on a weekend. You know how they do like the weekend programs still, after school programs. I'm gonna try to talk to somebody in the faculty and see if I could get into that with the kids. Just starting, like, you know, doing my due diligence. Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, spare time, hour or two with the kids, and just, mm-hmm. I'm doing what I love to do. Like, it's not even like it's way off track. No, it's what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you got a lot of that growing up? Because, like, we from the same areas,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like resources for us is not always what it needs to be. And then of course you get those one-offs, you get those teachers who you know, give you that extra time, but it's not always like a ton of programs to choose from for you to try to find what your thing is that you like.
I'm not gonna lie, like I always just be thinking sometimes, because I think, like, my teachers knew. They just knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I came to 308 in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to 81 first, me mm-hmm. and a few other students that transferred. Basically, our teacher in 81 was telling us, like, y'all deserve to be in a gifted school. Like, it's, you know, we have other students here we need to really focus on and tend to. And we basically got referred to go to Clara Caldwell. But shit, we like, okay. Like, all right. So it was me, like, three other kids, I think. I'm not going to say their names on here, but you know who I'm talking about. A few of us. Went there, third grade. And then, I had Mr. Lyles. I had a dreadhead teacher, Mr. Lyles. And then fourth grade, Miss Austin. I will never forget her.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started the poetry. She used to have, like, the poetry nights and stuff. And then she just told me, like, don't stop. Like, you're a good writer. You should keep writing. And then after that, I think it was a lot of programs in 308. I played basketball. I played chess. I think it was a dance team I was on at one point. So for me, like I said, being the only child, shit, after school, I'd go home. If a friend or something ain't come over, like, I was just home playing, you know, I would be by myself when I'd probably rather much be doing other things in the school with other kids than just being home playing by myself. But,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, that definitely played a big part. Like, shit, the after school, the extracurricular, all of that was good for me. It worked, and I was able to just take that and still use it now. Not chess as much, but
yeah, not chess.
I can still play though. I have a board at home.
I cannot. I know how to play chess. I don't know. It wasn't for me, you know.
Yeah.
But like you, I feel like one of the programs that I was able to get out of that school was the debate team. I was on the debate team, and obviously, you know, did teach me how to use my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I do every day. Like, that's my 9-to-5 in here, what I'm trying to do with this. So, I mean, it was great for me, but I always look back and be like, damn, you know what? It's so much talent and, like, raw talent in the hood. And it's, like, it's just not enough of, like, even knowing that you could do the things. You know what I mean? Like, we need more expansive community centers. We need more expansive resources for those kids, because we got world changers, but they don't even get to reach their full potential because, like, ain't nobody telling them that, one, they could do it. Showing them how to do it, you know what I mean? So it's it's unfortunate. I'm happy that, you know, what you were able to take from the process and what it was able to do for you. And I hope we, like, have a, I feel like we have a duty now to, like, go back.
For sure.
I appreciate what you're doing, because I think that's a big deal. A lot of people don't go back. And your voice is going to be valuable to some little girl or boy who, you know, can connect with you and your experience and your journey and see themselves in you. And I think more of us need to do that, because I think we have a duty to, like, serve our community, to go back. Like, when you learn something, take it back. So
because it don't end with you. Because the same kids, you know, they come in the same place you. It's like, I don't think nobody should ever be that humble enough to forget that. That part is especially, like, never, ever forget where you come from. Like, these kids are looking up to you. They're, and for me, if walking through them doors, that shit, I used to get in trouble, all types. I made it out, literally. Like, I could go on with stories in that school, and it's like, I could come back and now tell y'all, like, sit in this very classroom and talk to the kids. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. I really, really am.
Okay.
I'm gonna see. Mr. Efros told me I have to write a clean song, which is respected. You know, I don't mind. But it's going to be probably my first time writing a clean song. But I'm going to make it motivational. You know, something that can stick with them. Something catchy. Something not like the school song, but almost like the school song. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know the school song, then yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what you do next. Before we depart, if you can share... One, where they can find you, but two, if you have any upcoming events or projects or anything that people should look out for.
Alrighty. You can find me on all platforms at The Real Double R. That's Real Real. Two A's on Instagram. Double, the word double, and underscore R. And Raven Riddick, if you need to find me on whatever streaming platform, Raven with a Y, not R-A-V-E-N, R-A-Y-V-E-N. I can't say too much, but I have something very special coming up, and it's going to be nostalgic. That's all I can say. Like
Belly 2.0 nostalgic?
Ooh, not that into the 90s, but like... Oh my God, I don't want to say too much.
Don't tell them too much, but just you'll be dropping the details.
Just think of my name, and then that's it. That's it. I can't say too much, because then it's going to give it away, for real. But yeah, it's going to be so dope. Like, I'm very excited. I just started working on it last night, too, in the studio. So, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even working on it. I'm really just working on singles, so I'm not even gonna, you know, say too much about a EP or album. But stay tuned for this next content. It's gonna be crazy.
Can't wait to see it. I want to thank you for being a part of it, and no sharing problem. Your story and sharing your talent and art with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to see what you got going on soon.
For sure.
And maybe you could come back and you know,
give us
an
update.
Yeah. I can't wait. Definitely. Thank you.
No problem. And we're out.
Thank you for tuning in to Digest with Des. I hope to see you again in the next episode.